Friends in Christ and family of Bethlehem, as Christians living in America, with those two things comes with it a lot of sticky situations and tough topics. How do we be both citizen and saint living together as Christians in America? Well, so far, if you've been gathering with us, you've been hearing some of our themes. We've talked about a variety of really tough topics. We started out with the necessity as Christians to be an example to care for creation. We talked about the importance of good Christian families and marriages. Today we're talking about another tough topic, one that you can even look at those fishing lures that for a lot of people gets us hooked and maybe snags along people along the way. How, as Christians, do we deal with gun control, gun topics, and all those highly politicized things, while still speaking the truth in love? Well, today, believe it or not, regardless of there not being the type of weapons like today back in the Bible does speak a whole lot about this matter. And that's what my goal is for you today. Today, being Independence Day in our country, is a very fitting time for us to even talk about this. If you think about it, as American Christians, we have the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, and the freedom to gather. And that is a great place for us to be. And if you look at past that First Amendment to the Constitution, a lot of people today like to talk about the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, the right to use and own weapons. Now, if you look, our history buff, our four founding fathers wrote all these things to back up that First Amendment, the freedom for us as free people to talk and believe and worship the way we want, even using weapons to do so. But let's talk a little bit more about that matter on gun laws. Like I had mentioned, the Second Amendment to our United States Constitution reads as such: a well-regulated militia, again, militia being a small, informal group of people gathering with weapons, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. In light of a lot of our recent mass shootings, and even just recently this past year, even close to home here in Oconomowoc, in light of all things, is that glaring right of the people to keep and bear arms. And that's been under some pretty heavy fire and debate lately. Several recent polls seem to suggest that most Americans today, however, favor stricter gun laws because of that. Now, interesting and oddly enough, while that is at that going on at the same time, national background checks for firearm sales are skyrocketing. Even ammunition sales are skyrocketing. Go into any store, and if people are trying to buy those things, you can't. Concealed carry licenses are being skyrocketing and issuing. Now, despite that apparent desire for more gun control, it seems like, based on that the firearms industry is booming. I can even attest to that. Prior to me being pastor here, I did work even moonlighting for a Cabela's where I did just that, background checks for firearms. People want them, and despite there being a lot of mess in the news. So, as Christians, what are the concerns of us as Christians over this debate? Now, having spent a few years reading many articles about the anti-gun philosophy that's implanted in the minds of our fellow Americans, it strikes me that there is one really big philosophical debate that's actually more important and behind all this politics. And it's the question, is there evil? And if there is, what do we do about it? Is there such a thing as evil, yes or no? If you answer yes, this will shape our view of the necessity of weapons for self-defense and even firearms in the hands of Americans. Is there evil in the world? For us as Christians, we know those answers. But for an everyday person, it may be easier, actually, to acknowledge and believe there is evil than for people to even trust that God is real. We know evil is around. Of course, I'm convinced there is a real and personal God who is still doing something about this problem of evil. But if we can see that there is evil in this world, and we can see it all around, even in ourselves, then we as Christians know that there is a need to protect and defend ourselves from evil, and with our family, to protect and defend our property, and care for our neighbors against evil. Does combating evil belong only to the police or to the military, we might ask? As Christians, we say no. First of all, as citizens of a nation, we believe that if we believe that only the police and military have the ability and the right to resist evil with speed and violence of action, that leaves all of us vulnerable, with no ability to resist it other than the hope that if and when the day comes when evil comes to confront us, there will be somebody out there who is willing and able to help us. If you look at the Ten Commandments, we are owed to love and protect each other as neighbors. As Christians, we don't have to be willing to take those chances. Others may still feel free to take those risks. Now, in the debates over gun control, there's the pro-gun control crowd that are convinced that the only way to counter evil is to remove those tools, those weapons, from the hands of anybody who would want to do evil, right? But let's look through history, how that has demonstrated how evil will always, always find a way. In fact, humans will use whatever is at hand to do evil things to each other. Take, for example, Adam and Eve, the very first parents, and their very first children, Cain and Abel. Cain killed his brother Abel because he was simply jealous of him. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what kind of weapon the first murderer, Cain, used to kill his brother. Cain could have used a stone, could have used a club, a sword, or perhaps even his bare hands. A weapon wasn't even mentioned in the account. A sword, as with a handgun or a firearm, in and of itself isn't necessarily an aggressive or violent thing. It's simply an object which can be used for good or evil. And any weapon in the hands of someone intent on evil can be used for violence. In fact, if you read the Bible, a weapon isn't even required for violence. Take, for example, good old King David, who put one of his soldiers, Uriah, on the very front lines of battle just for him to die so that David could take his wife. On and on and on, we can go sharing stories from the Bible. But has taken weapons out of the hands of people helped curb evil? Do we think the Jewish population of Europe in the 1930s, herded into ghettos and then into death camps, feel that gun control worked in their favor? How about the slaves in the American South or the people at the end of the Civil War? How did gun control them combat evil? So what are we to do? As Christians, the most realistic and practical way to combat evil is to confront it head on and deal with it in whatever way possible using God's word. As Christians, we can believe in strong laws, yes, and strong law enforcement, and a judicial system that puts punishment out on evildoers, up into and including bearing the sword, such as even executing the most heinous evildoers among us. If we view gun control in light of self-defense, however, I think it's easier for us as Christians to be freely able to deal with evil in a very sober-minded and realistic way. Can any of us ever really hope to achieve a utopian state where there is no more crime, no more gross outbursts of evil? Probably not until Jesus returns. Because simply put, mankind, That is including each and every one of you, to our oldest, to our youngest. Every single one of us is inclined toward evil if we are left independent and unchecked, where there is no corruption of power or lust for it. When there's ever an opportunity for bad to be done, we're going to go and do it. So when we analyze the key issues in the gun control debates that continue to rage on, we'll find out that one of the key differences, and perhaps the most important for us today, is how we view the reality of evil and how each of us collectively and individually, what we're willing to do about it, right? That's the truth about guns. That's the truth about weapons. Perhaps the most important truth of all. That's where you come in today. Today we can talk about how as Christians we navigate politics and gun laws, but as Christians it's our job always, in light of God's word and what example we have from Jesus, it's our job to promote, defend, and protect life. Even at the hands of maybe taking life. So parents, how are you doing? What are you telling your kids about evil? How are you training them so that they don't fall into evil actions, behaviors, or ideas? What are you telling your kids about self-defense on the playground, at school, or even with their words? What are you telling your kids about Christian kindness, simply? If you realize those things are actually the heart of the matter of why we even are talking about this topic today. Church members, what are you doing about mental health and evil, which are the real culprits in today's society? Are you noticing when someone isn't acting just right? And are you kind enough to form relationships with people and find out really why? Or do you just bolt out of a church building or a church gathering to get lunch, to go to a party or to a sporting event as fast as possible? The truth is, Jesus, not America, Jesus has done more to promote the right to life than anything else. And it's our job, it's your job as citizens, as parents, as children, as family, as church members, it's all of our job to do something about it. Because guess what? If we leave America to do it on their own, we're not going to do it. So, let's start following Jesus' example, which bears the question, what does the Bible say about the right to bear arms? Obviously, the Bible doesn't talk about gun control since guns weren't around, but accounts of warfare and, of course, the use of weaponry like swords, spears, bows, arrows, darts, slings are all pretty well documented. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were expected to wear personal weapons. Every man would be summoned to arms when the nation confronted an enemy. They didn't send in the Marines. The people themselves defended themselves with God's help. And we see this clearly in today's scripture readings. Take, for example, the very first reading today. If you look back, the prophet Nehemiah. It's as simple as doing civic duty of rebuilding the temple where they worshiped. And while they did so, they were keen to know that they had to defend themselves from enemies that wished for them to be gone. And so while they worked, they held swords and spears and bows. Or our second example today, the prophet Ezekiel, the same thing, a vocation of being a watchman set aside to protect his people. If he didn't do his job, it's his blood, his life on the line. If he warns people about impending evil and terror, and people don't do anything about it, it's their problem. You and I are watchmen and women of this world. What are you doing? What are we doing as watchmen for the people that are running around doing evil things in this world? We are Israel's watchmen. We are God's watchmen. We are here to defend life. And finally today, Jesus himself speaks about self-defense, the use of weapons when we are brought to last resort. Jesus is an agent of peace, and he always will be an agent of peace. But at the same time, realistically, he knows that there is evil, and we are called to do something about evil and defend ourselves and our brothers and our sisters and our families against such evil. In the Old Testament, David said to his men, "Every man strap on his sword." So every man had a sword ready when required upon. He said, "Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." We must always realize that we are facing a spiritual battle over your very lives, the minute you wake up to the moment you fall asleep. And besides instruments of warfare, weapons were used in the Bible for self-defense, and nowhere were they forbidden. In the New Testament, Jesus sanctioned weapons for self-defense, even when talking with his disciples. We heard today about that same matter of Peter carrying a sword. In the Garden of Eden, or the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was taken away, Peter himself struck down a Roman soldier and cut off his ear in self-defense to protect Jesus. And Jesus did something about that lashing out of evil from Peter by healing the man, but he didn't say anything wrong about the carrying of weapons. So that brings us to a question today. As Christians, are we peacemakers or are we pacifists? Scripture is quite clear that Christians are called to be peacemakers and to always turn the other cheek. Thus, any aggressive or offensive violence was not the purpose for which Jesus instructed the use of weapons for self-defense. We are peacemakers, but it doesn't mean we sit by idly and don't do anything to protect each other. The fact of the matter is today, as American Christians living in today, weapons aren't just the issue, because weapons in the hands of law-abiding, peace-loving believers can be good, can be used for good, can be used for hunting, recreational, competitive sports, and even keeping peace. And beyond self-defense, a person properly trained and prepared can deter crime and employ a weapon to protect innocent lives. Weapons, we can conclude, are not the problem. We are. That's why wisdom and caution are to be used with us at all times. Ultimately, for us today, the decision to bear arms, as our Constitution gives us that right, it's a personal choice determined by one's own convictions. As a believer, the use of deadly force can only be applied as a last resort to protect life when no other option is available, to prevent evil from being committed and protect each other. A Christian can be a proponent of gun control, believing that removing guns from the hands of people can bring about peace. And also, a Christian can be against gun control, believing that law-abiding citizens are best able to protect themselves when they are armed. We thank God for both types of people. Whatever Christians do believe, we as citizens are called to submit to whatever gun ownership and laws that our government institutes as we follow God's command. But most of all today, as we celebrate independence in our nation, as we celebrate the gift of life that we have from our Lord, we look to his example that no greater love is this, that one lays down your life for a friend. We see that happen in our United States military. We see that happen in our United States law enforcement, first responders, ambulance workers, nurses, doctors. And we can see it at work for you today. How will you lay down your life? How will you defend, protect the life of the people that are near to you today? And how will we do so with the help of God to rid this world of evil? That's the issue for us at hand. That's the tough topic for you today. In Jesus' name, amen.